Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 22nd of July. This hour of the program, the question is whether or not Elizabeth Warren should be appointed to be the head of the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. One of our guests says the Bureau is the best thing about the financial reform bill that President Obama has signed, and its prime architect was Warren, a folksy Harvard Law professor who's become a well-known and admired public figure championing reform. Some feel that this would not be a good appointment, that she doesn't know very much about management style and her personal qualities may not match with the way Washington works. We're going to hear a couple of viewpoints on Elizabeth Warren this hour of the program, and also on the importance of the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Is it indeed the best thing about the financial reform bill or not? We'll have different opinions this hour of the program. Vincent Reinhart joining us the first half hour, former director of the Federal Reserve Board's Division of Monetary Affairs, who spent more than 20 years working on domestic and international aspects of U.S. monetary policy. He held a number of senior positions in the Divisions of Monetary Affairs and International Finance and served for the last 6 years of his Federal Reserve career as secretary and economist of the Federal Open Market Committee. He is a resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute for Public Policy Research. Later, we will be speaking with the co-founder and co-editor of American Prospect. We've already had a few Facebook comments on Elizabeth Warren, and we welcome all of your comments this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Chrissy Pease will be answering your phone calls this morning. We'll get you on hold and on the air fairly shortly. Vincent, thank you so much for being with us. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Well, what do you think about, first of all, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau? Is it, as our next guest will suggest, the best thing about the financial reform bill?
Let me first say that's a real low hurdle because taken together, the financial reform bill is pretty disappointing. It sort of concluded after 3 years seeing the failure of regulation, seeing that our financial system is woefully over complex and opaque to do even more of the same. So I don't think the financial reform bill taken together materially lowers the odds of the next financial crisis or lowers how big that crisis will be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given that, the record of the last couple decades shows that we probably need a single agency directed toward consumer financial protection. So that is probably among the best parts of the legislation. Personally, I don't think it was appropriate to give to house that agency within the Federal Reserve. That actually was just a budget gimmick, and it would have been better off to be a standalone agency with direct congressional oversight of its budget, but that's inside the beltway, kind of.
Yeah, it is going to be include a fair number of employees, is my understanding. Is that right?
Well, if you allocate as much as $500 million to a new agency, you will be able to hire a lot of people. It's probably going to be on the order of 2,000 employees.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it might be part of the stimulation of the economy, huh?
That's true, although unfortunately the part of our economy that we've overstimulated is the bureaucracy and haven't been quite as good as creating other jobs.
Mm-hmm. That seems to always be the case. Those jobs always stay around. When you say that we probably need some of the regulation here for protection for consumers, what troubles you about what we don't have and what we need?
So what we really need is what we need and what we get with a new agency is a centralization of authorities. There were authorities, that is the ability to write rules on consumer financial protection, scattered around Washington, including the place I used to work, the Federal Reserve. But the SEC could do some, the Justice Department could do some, FTC could do some, but nobody viewed that as their chief responsibility. So it isn't that Washington didn't have the power, rather it fell through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And housing everybody concerned about doing that in one building makes sense.
And the areas that would be taken on would be some of these loans, would be credit cards that have very high interest that can happen to a person all of a sudden. What other areas of reform?
So there's lots of different aspects. I don't know if you've settled a mortgage loan any time recently, but you spend an hour with several lawyers initialing documents, signing documents. Documents that don't necessarily really explain the risks you're taking. And so a big agenda for the new agency should be to simplify and make much more transparent what the form of the financial contract is. And if you do that, then some of the really bad abuses, like, as you were saying, loans that suddenly reset to a higher rate or balloon payments that the borrower really didn't understand, some of that will go away. So I think the job one is going to be make financial contracts more transparent. Given that, once you've leveled the playing field and can see things more clearly, then it will be limiting or outright prohibiting some types of contracts. And then the third big thing is working on the issue of suitability. Suitability means that the financial institution has a responsibility to pair the product and the customer. They're just some complicated, a salesperson for a bank or an insurance company shouldn't sell a complicated annuity to a retiree, for instance. And so that's going to be related to the issue of making sure that financial institutions know their clients.
Vincent, what do you think of Elizabeth Warren, and why do you think there has been so much controversy about her? It's interesting how much press there's been about this possible appointment or this decision, perhaps, to not appoint her.
Sure. So I think there's a couple issues. First, she has really done a very good job invigorating the Congressional Oversight Panel. That was basically an afterthought in the legislation that authorized the TARP. She's used it as an effective sounding board and been a thorn in the side of some administration officials, no doubt including the Secretary of the Treasury. So she has succeeded in the most recent job she's been given. I think the reason it gets so much attention is this is basically an opportunity to re-legislate the legislation. The person who heads the agency can really set the tone for a while to come. One thing you got to remember, this legislation is, 2,319 pages? Is actually mostly directions to agencies to write rules. So we don't know what the net impact of it is right now. It's going to take more than a year for all the agencies to write all the rules, probably much more than a year. And how those agencies write the rules in terms of their aggressiveness, where they point the needle between allowing innovation, but protecting investors versus all the different and including reporting burden and compliance costs, that will really determine whether this legislation is a success or failure. First chance to establish that precedent is appointing the
right
person to head this agency.
Yeah. What do you think of her? Should she be appointed?
I really worry. I worry because it's going to be a big bureaucracy, $500 million, maybe 2,000 people, and it's going to be plopped down in the middle of a Washington landscape where there are already agencies who think they're doing some of those same things. And indeed, the new agency is going to have to ask the Federal Reserve where its building will be, because the Fed will actually does the administration. And so I would put very, very high weight on management experience and bureaucratic expertise. That's not the strong point in her resume. And so I would worry that good intentions might be overcome by the bureaucratic infighting associated with what will be a several-year turf battle in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Not very attractive.
So who would you appoint?
That one I'm not really sure. I think it is important to say elections matter. The Congress passed this legislation. The president signed it. We should look for somebody who will actually try to implement it as effectively as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the names that have come out, particularly if they have a very high a lot of banking on their resume, are really attempts to say, well, we got that. We have the new agency, but let's make sure it doesn't do much. That wouldn't be appropriate. What I think you got to do is have somebody with government expertise, a little bit of industry expertise, and somebody who will spend the next several years spending very long hours building the infrastructure of an agency, hiring a general counsel, a controller, an auditor, making sure that the cafeteria is in the right place. I mean, there's lots of decisions that the new head of the agency is going to have to make and going to have to work with existing agencies.
Well, what about the food in the cafeteria?
That's
the most important, right? How good is it? Let me read you some of the emails that we've received, at least so far. We have an incredible amount of support for her among people who have written in. Let me read you some of these. She's absolutely the best person for this position. She's someone we can trust. She's not a Washington insider. She's not a politician. She's not a member of President Obama's inner circle. She's beholden to no special interest. She has a long and vocal history of being a champion of consumers, plus the very idea of this whole board was hers in the first place. She's a straight shooter who's extremely knowledgeable. This is another email, and can speak clearly and fairly about consumer and financial matters. I can think of a time when the right person for a position, I can't think of a time where the choice has been so obvious. Elizabeth Warren is, as Jay Hazlett says, absolutely. We just have about 10 of those, really. Yeah. We have many. So a lot of people really think that she's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, so I think all those comments would be perfectly appropriate if the job opened was, say, the head of a new presidential office on consumer protection, sort of the equivalent of the national security director or the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would have a very public position, a staff of maybe 10 people, and direct access to the president. The good qualities of Elizabeth Warren that the people who wrote into you have noted, those are exactly the things you need for a job like that.
Right.
That's not the job that's open. The job that's open is establishing a bureaucracy, using $500 million of taxpayers' money to get up and running a complicated organization in a regulatory arena that is already overcomplicated and has competitors. That is, whoever gets that job is going to have to work with the Federal Reserve, the Comptroller of the Currency, the SEC, a whole host of different federal agencies. What I worry about is, if you look at the last decade or so, we have not done a good job getting bureaucracies up and running. Think about Homeland Security. The Washington Post over this week has run a three-part series on the intelligence agencies, which basically points to lots of infighting, overlapping authorities, and a lot of waste. I think this isn't like starting the SEC in 1934. It's more like trying to carve out a Homeland Security when there's a lot of other agencies who think they're doing doing the job already.
Vincent Reinhardt is our guest. The first half hour of the program, resident scholar for the American Enterprise Institute, and we're talking this hour about the possibility and the controversy surrounding the possible appointment of Elizabeth Warren to head the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which, of course, was the bureau that she fought for. Is she the logical choice, a breath of fresh air? And why is there so much controversy about her? Do you worry about her lack of managerial experience when she would have to create a new bureaucracy? And as Vincent says, we don't have a great record here of establishing large new bureaucracies, and we need somebody who knows how to work with other agencies who do similar kinds of jobs. Here's our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email address, talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Join the conversation if you'd like. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Vincent Reinhardt is our guest, a former Fed official and a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and whether or not this is the signature piece of reform when we look at financial reform, and whether or not Elizabeth Warren should head this agency because of her reputation and the fact that it was her baby. We'd like to hear from you. 800-486-8655. The email address is talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. Let's talk a little bit more about Timothy Geithner. And you said that she might be, and others have said that she might be a thorn in his side, that she doesn't appear to be his first choice. What's the problem between the two?
So first of all, I don't know the thinking of Secretary Geithner, so everything I'm saying is viewed from the outside.
Right, from what the press is saying, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Elizabeth Warren invigorated the Congressional Oversight Panel, viewed it as her responsibility to evaluate, assess, to criticize administration use of the TARP resources, and that includes both the Bush administration and the Obama administration. If you're actually in charge, you have the job of administering those resources, which is what the Secretary of Treasury has. You might not like that criticism. She and her staff and her other panel members have asked questions about how quickly they spent out the resources, whether they made the right decisions, say, in their intervention with the auto companies or closing the dealership so quickly. Lots of individual questions about the administration of taxpayer resources. So I think it's just a question, an obvious human nature. It's kind of tough to take criticism.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls. James from Madison, our first caller on this issue. Hi, James.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had one question. I was wondering about the potential for someone like Ralph Nader. I know he is a champion of consumer safety protection, but consumer protection as a whole. He's a Washington independent, but insider at the same time. And I was just wondering your thoughts on him as a potential candidate to run the organization.
So I think we're back to the main issue of will he work and play well with others, and so if you ask the question, I'm sure they would ask in the White House, what additionally do you gain from choosing Ralph Nader instead of Elizabeth Warren? Both, no doubt, would deeply frighten the financial industry, probably Ralph Nader even more. A far more likely candidate would be somebody like Elizabeth Warren. The other part of it is the job is going to involve long hours slogging through very intricate, even picayune questions about how to start up an agency. That really does, I think, require somebody who's had experience working in a bureaucracy.
Thanks very much, James, for your call. We go next to Julie in Oshkosh. Hi, Julie.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I'm a very big fan of Elizabeth Warren. I've been in the bankruptcy business for the last 25 years, and so I understand that she's paid attention to how consumers get confused or ruined by the legislation. I wonder if you are a little damning her with faint praise by saying, gee, she's really great, but she doesn't have the kind of experience in the industry and in bureaucracy that we need. Because during that whole time period, somebody with her perceptions and opinions wouldn't have made it to square one in that industry, and you see the mess we're in now.
Right.
So what do we know about her abilities? Shouldn't we find out what the woman can do?
So I understand that completely. And the question is, if you're starting an agency from scratch that has a $500 million budget and no direct congressional oversight of that budget, you might want to be a little risk averse. I think if a person supporting Elizabeth Warren, the logical thing would be to pair her with a Washington insider and bureaucrat. I would be reassured if at her confirmation hearing, would that day come, the first thing she said is, I'm going to lead this new agency, and I've already gotten these two or three people who agree to work with me who know the inside ropes of Washington, D.C. That would do a lot to actually reassure me. But, you know, I think when you're dealing with this many resources, when you're dealing with setting such a precedent, I think we need that kind of reassurance.
I think one of the things that people who support her find appealing about her is that she seems to have a mission on this, that other people seem to be muddling through financial reform. And I refer to something she said on April 26th. The lack of meaningful oversight in Washington is the direct result of the immense political power of the financial industry and its success at heading off robust rules. The industry's onslaught over time has left us with a sluggish bureaucratic regulatory system that is designed to be ineffective. I mean, she said a lot more than that, but you can just sort of imagine this fighting crusader who's coming in to take this on and to fight for the consumers. And a lot of people say, you know, we understand that she may have problems with the bureaucracy, but she's got the spirit that we haven't seen for the little person.
So I understand that there is a strong desire to have somebody on a white horse lead the charge.
Right.
But you also want to make sure there's troops behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Elizabeth Warren is clearly unqualified. I could imagine circumstances in which she would make a very, very good agency head. But I think she should be reaching out right now to figure out who would work with her to provide that bureaucratic expertise to fill in the gaps in her resume. That would be helpful.
Do you think she's likely to be appointed, or do you think there's serious question that she will be?
I think there's serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least reading the newspaper articles, the senatorial support is somewhat lacking.
And I've heard two things about that. First, I heard it didn't need Senate approval, and then I heard that it did. What's the truth?
I actually don't know. Before I called you, I was looking through those 2,319
oh my goodness.
Pages, and I didn't find that paragraph.
Yeah. Well, yesterday the news was she did need approval, yeah. So that's probably it. One more phone call, and then same topic, switching guests. Ellen from Milwaukee. Hello.
Hello. I think that possibly having somebody that doesn't know the bureaucracy, but is a very intelligent person and knows what she's talking about, might figure out how to work within it without becoming a lapdog of the industry.
Yeah, I agree completely in that this is not an obvious decision. you have the opportunity to start a new agency with very distinct leadership, or do you start a new agency getting someone less of that public image, but who will work more effectively and at least has a proven track record on infrastructure? That's the choice. The choice is between signal leadership versus institution building. It's possible Elizabeth Warren can do both. I don't actually see that reading her history. And she comes in with a contentious record with some of the people she'd have to work with and the industry she'd have to regulate. It's a risky call. It's not an obviously no, but it is risky.
Mm-hmm. Vincent, thank you so much for being with us to explore this. Thanks. Vincent Reinhart, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, our guest for the first half hour of the program. We change guests now, same topic. Robert Kuttner is our guest now, and we thank you, Ellen, for your call. Robert is co-founder and co-editor of the American Prospect, and he's written a piece recently, The Warren Drama, Another Missed Opportunity. He is the author of a number of books. First of all, he was a longtime columnist for Business Week and writes columns now in the Boston Globe. He's the author of The Squandering of America, Exploring the Political Roots of America's Narrowing Prosperity and the Systemic Risks Facing the U.S. Economy. His other books, Everything for Sale, The Virtues and Limits of Markets. He's the author of The End of Laissez-Faire, The Life of the Party, The Economic Illusion, and Revolt of the Haves. And he has written extensively for The New York Times Magazine, in Book Review, The Atlantic, The New Republic, The New Yorker, Dissent, Columbia Journalism Review, and Harvard Business Review. And he is with us, we hope, for the next half hour of the program to talk about the Warren drama. He writes, for the past several days, people who care about whether financial reform is to be real or sham have been following the drama of whether President Obama will name Elizabeth Warren to head the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The bureau, he says, is the best thing about the financial reform bill that Obama will sign later this week. And its prime architect was Warren, a folksy Harvard law professor who's become a well-known and admired public figure championing reform. It is also no secret that Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner doesn't want Warren as chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel monitoring the Treasury's conduct of the bank bailout under TARP. Warren turned what might have been an obscure and toothless agency into a feisty reform for challenging the Treasury's coddling of big banks. She did not pull her punches in asking tough questions of the Treasury Secretary and demanding sometimes embarrassing documents. And then he goes on, except we can't find him. He goes on to talk about other people who have been named as possibilities here. I'm amazed by the strong support. Maybe some of you listening are not at all in favor of her, but we certainly continue to welcome your phone calls as we try to track down our next guest, who is quite supportive of her, but we just can't find him yet. So rather than listening to me yak, 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 let's continue with your phone calls. Please, what do you think of Elizabeth Warren? Is she the best choice? Do you like her style? Do you think she's got the passion here to take on those issues that really resonate with middle America and with people who have been ripped off by financial industries? Or is she completely lacking in administrative experience? It is interesting how people have rallied to her support and really put pressure on the administration to sign her on as head of this organization. And we do have Robert now. Our phone number remaining 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Hello, Robert. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Do you think, indeed, that this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is absolutely the best thing about financial reform?
Well, it's one of the clearest things about financial reform, and it's one of the most easily dramatized to ordinary people. I mean, ordinary people may not know a credit default swap from a CDO.
Exactly.
They just know that they're getting fleeced. But when it comes to credit card charges or deceptive mortgages or charges on overdrafts. That's something that regular people experience all the time. And so depending on how tough the enforcement is on all the more technical stuff, it may or may not turn out to be more important or less important. In terms of being vivid and just right out there, and in terms of being very pro-consumer, and also an offset to banking practices that led not just to consumer abuses but to deeper systemic abuses. I mean, if there had been a Consumer Protection Bureau preventing some of these deceptive mortgages from happening in the first place, you wouldn't have had subprime. So I think it's very important.
It's hard for a lot of people to understand why she isn't the logical choice and why the president wouldn't just, you know, matter of form. Okay, Elizabeth Warren will head this. It's her idea. She's got a lot of support.
Sure.
Why not?
Well, this is absolutely fascinating. I mean, when was the last time you saw somebody, a high-profile public figure, making a public run for an appointive office? It's just not done. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. But it's very, very infrequent. I can't think of another case where there's a public campaign with a tacit encouragement of the candidate. So that's part one. I think part two, she was a burr under the saddle of Tim Geithner with very good reason. I mean, wearing one hat, she's the longtime architect and advocate of the Consumer Bureau. With the other hat, she's chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel, which was the only independent oversight panel monitoring what Geithner was doing as not just Treasury Secretary, but before that, head of the New York Fed and head of the whole bank bailout program. And Warren had a lot of criticisms. She was very relentless in going after documents that Geithner didn't want to release. And she had a fundamental different philosophy of how this whole thing should be carried out from Geithner's. So he's obviously not thrilled with this. And he's got friends on Capitol Hill the same way she does. Dodd the other day was saying, you know, maybe she'd have a rough time in confirmation hearings. My point in a column I did for Huffington Post the other day was the best thing that could possibly happen to Barack Obama would be if the Republicans gave Elizabeth Warren, defender of the consumer, scourge of abusive banking practices, a rough time in confirmation hearings. So I think it's a slam dunk. But there's a ton of infighting going on. And the really interesting question at the end of the day is who President Obama listens to, because he gets to make the appointment and not Tim Geithner.
And the Senate does need to confirm it. I had heard earlier this week they didn't. They do.
There may be a way to finesse it. I mean, he could do a recess appointment, but she will get confirmed if she's appointed. I mean, she's very close to Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins, the two senators from Maine who voted for the bill. One of the Democrats who voted against the bill because it was not tough enough, your own Russ Feingold, will vote for Elizabeth Warren. So she'll have 63 or 64 votes, and there may be other Republicans who will realize that this is not a smart vote to block her confirmation.
Right. So do you think she will be appointed, or does Tim Geithner have the ear of the president?
Well, it is fascinating because, on the one hand, if he appoints her, it looks like he's giving into a lobbying campaign from the liberals. If he doesn't appoint her, it looks like he's giving into a lobbying campaign from the bankers.
Right.
And from Tim Geithner. I would say 55-45 she gets the appointment.
Really?
I think there's more damage to be done to the Obama administration and more of an upside gain to appointing her than not appointing her.
Well, he would, just from the judging, and this is a small sampling, but the emails and Facebook responses that we've received in our audience, and what most people think of her, they do think of her as a straight shooter who's really smart, is going to look out for the average consumer, and she would appeal, I would think, to everybody of political persuasion, but really progressives are just demanding that President Obama appoint her, and he needs to do something to make progressives happy.
Well, the progressive base is very disillusioned with him, and it's not that they're going to vote for Republicans, but they're going to sit on their hands. They're not going to work hard. The labor folks are very upset with him for not pushing employee free choice and to giving us more NAFTAs and not pushing aid to the states and pushing race to the top over emergency aid so that 300,000 teachers don't lose their jobs. This, in a stroke, would make not just the progressive base, but activists of all kinds who saw the promise of real change in Obama feel a lot better, feel a lot more energized for the fall. And she'd also, just on the merits, she's a pistol. I mean, she's a
she's a pistol
of energy.
Yeah,
and knows her stuff. So it's one of these fascinating political moments. And you know, I wrote this book called A Presidency in Peril. I think he's in trouble. I think the recovery is going much more slowly, and his own supporters are rather anxious, if not disheartened. This would help on both fronts. It would be very smart politics because it would force the Republicans to either take a vote siding with consumers or demonstrate that they're really shills for the bankers.
Mm-hmm. And when you answer the question, who is he listening to at this point, who do you think he is listening to?
Well, I think on economic issues, he's listening to his economic team, and that's Geithner and Summers and Peter Orszag, who's now departing, and some of the other more technical advisors like Christina Romer. I think he's certainly listening to Rahm Emanuel, who is less of a progressive and is closer to Wall Street. I mean, his whole background was first a fundraiser, then he went and took a sabbatical from politics to get rich on Wall Street. David Axelrod is more basing his advice on the pulse of public opinion. And Obama was not particularly engaged in the fight for financial reform in the way he was in the fight for health reform. He wasn't working the phones. He wasn't twisting arms of congressmen and senators. He was leaving that to Congress and to his legislative team. But interestingly, the one piece of the financial reform bill that he took a strong personal interest in was the Consumer Protection Bureau. So he's paying attention to this one, and it must be both amusing and annoying to him to have all of this infighting going on for an appointment that ultimately he gets to make.
Right. Let's go to phone calls. We have many of them. Diane in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. You know, Elizabeth Warren has a passion for consumer protection, and she can find the people that help her set up a bureaucracy. And you know, the American Enterprise Institute is not pro-Obama. They are pro-business, and that is why they have detrimental comments about her.
All right. That was the guest we had on the first half hour, Robert. Thanks very much for the call. Gary in Glendale writes this message. Tim Geithner on Charlie Rose last night gave his best public performance as Secretary of the Treasury and was high in praise, though noncommittal, of Elizabeth Warren for the position. Would you comment on Geithner's guarded support of Ms. Warren?
I don't think it's guarded support. I think it's necessary pro forma support because he can't possibly say publicly that he's against her. So their line has been for about 10 days that she's very well qualified. We love Elizabeth. She's great, but she's not the only candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to defeat a nomination by stealth, that's the position you have to take publicly.
And we'll talk about the other candidates in a moment. Bill in Madison, hi.
Hello. Yes, I love the idea of someone like Elizabeth Warren in that position. I support what she stands for, but my experience in my past, working with in bureaucracies, when firebrands, crusaders, you know, white knights, whatever you want to call them, generally are not effective. And I think the worst thing for Obama politically in the long run is if someone gets appointed who is not effective. And I'm worried about that with her. We need some. If she's going to be the public face of this agency.
Hello?
Yeah, are you still there? Tony?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, Tony. Hold on a second. Yeah, I may have inadvertently hit the wrong button here, but you got the gist of what other caller was saying.
Yeah, let me take issue with that if I can have a moment. She has run the Congressional Oversight Panel with a staff of about 50. She has been a masterful leader of that, both inside and outside. And it's not just that you're a public face. There is a part of this that has to do with the political infighting and making sure that, you know, against a lot of other powerful people in government who are not as pro-consumer as you are, the Treasury and the Fed are more pro-industry, that your view prevails. And she, in the same way that she's such an effective public figure, I mean, I've followed this very, very closely. I wrote a book about it. She has been superb at the inside game. And secondly, she was head of the Commission on Bankruptcy Reform, which, again, took a lot of political acuity as well as a lot of administrative intelligence. So she's not a babe in the woods at this. She's not. She's not just a kind of a firebrand.
So is she the change that the American people were looking for?
Well, to the extent that the American people feel that both parties are too close to Wall Street, that could never be said of Elizabeth Warren. And if you think about how many semi-public figures who are fighting for the consumer have the charisma and the competence and the expertise, the attractiveness of Elizabeth Warren, you could probably count them on the fingers of one hand. So I think she would just be an absolute ornament, and not just symbolically.
Mm-hmm. I guess this half hour is Robert Kuttner. He is the author of many books, co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect. His books, The Squandering of America, Exploring the Political Roots of America's Narrowing Prosperity, Everything for Sale, another book, The Virtues and Limits of Markets, The End of Laissez-Faire, The Life of the Party, another one, The Economic Illusion, and Revolt of the Haves. We have a couple, one line open if you'd like to join our conversation, 800-486-8655. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, a large part of the financial reform bill, should Elizabeth Warren head this agency? After all, it was her idea. Or is it best that it just remain her idea and the position should be filled by someone else? And why is it controversial? We welcome your phone calls. We'll take more in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And while we're on the topic of consumer protection, the second hour of our program today, this was introduced in the House yesterday, a campaign for safe cosmetics and regulation of the cosmetics industry, which really is not regulated. We'll have a guest with us talking about the new bill that would regulate the $50 billion cosmetic industry. 800-486-8655. Robert, we should talk about, as you do in the Huffington Post piece, and we also want to see your author of A Presidency in Peril. We hope we can get the book and book you for that book down the road. It would be a good show. Let's talk about the other people who have been mentioned here. Who are they, and are they comparable to Elizabeth Warren?
Well, Mike Barr is the one who's most prominently mentioned. He's on leave from the University of Michigan Law School. He's a good guy. He fought hard inside the administration for the Consumer Protection Bureau. But on other issues, he pretty much took Geithner's position, which was rather more conservative on whether to have a tough separation of commercial banking from investment banking, whether to have really tough regulation of derivatives. And there's another equally important job open. It's the chief regulator of national banks, called the Controller of the Currency. I mean, I think the win-win here would be to put Barr in that position and give the Consumer Bureau to Elizabeth Warren. But I think the financial industry has decided that Barr, as a close confidant of Geithner, is the perfect anti-Warren. So he is their candidate. And, of course, they got to be a little bit careful. I mean, this is more of a whispering campaign than a kind of a campaign comparable to the noisy public campaign that the liberals are waging. So, you know, were there not an Elizabeth Warren in the wings who was the architect of this whole thing, Barr would be a perfectly good appointment. But I think there would be a lot of static if he got the appointment because he's not Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
And other Gene Kimmelman's name has been mentioned. I mean, he's a former lobbyist for the Consumer Federation of America, now working at the Justice Department. Again, good guy, probably pro-consumer, but not Elizabeth Warren. And I think that's the deficiency of any other name you could mention. It would have the effect of blocking her, and a lot of people feel she's earned the job.
Mm-hmm. Tony, our next caller. Hi, Tony.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Okay, how are you, Tony?
I'm fine, thank
good.
You. I guess Elizabeth Warren is a good choice for what President Obama, I think, wants to accomplish with financial regulation, but I guess it's a little ironic and sad that this started out to try to address too big to fail. And it was addressing our financial institutions too big to fail primarily because of the subprime mortgage mess we got ourselves into. And that problem was driven in a large part by government policy. So we started out trying to solve a problem driven by policy, government policy in the first place. We didn't address Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and now we're down to consumer protection and what type of fees you're going to have on your debit card. As a whole, the whole process really not accomplished what needed to be done.
Okay, we need to hold it there because that's how long your phone held out. Robert.
Well, I think the Consumer Protection Bureau is much bigger than the charge on your debit card. And as Elizabeth Warren has constantly reiterated in testimony, if there had been a Consumer Protection Bureau in effect 5 and 10 and 15 years ago, weighing in against deceptive mortgage products, which is the of which subprime loans are the epitome, there never would have been subprime loans. And you can debate about whether the subprime crisis was the fault of government policy or was it a failure of government regulation. I think the record shows it was inadequate government regulation, both parties to some extent being corrupted by Wall Street so that they could market these products. But if you did have a strong independent consumer bureau, they never would have gotten off the ground and the crisis never would have happened.
Thanks, Tony. Jean in Springdale. Hi.
Yeah, thanks. And I really like Elizabeth Warren, and I think it's time that we have somebody who has a vision and an understanding and a certain aggressiveness about her or him to go ahead and start something. We've listened to the guy from the Enterprise Institute say all the reasons that she shouldn't be because of the administrative capabilities. Having started things from scratch before knowing anything administratively and watching other groups making sure they get somebody who knows administration around them, I say sometimes a fresh start with fresh people who have a vision and understanding produces much better results than conforming and confirming to or conforming with old tradition and old people who know how to administer but not know what to administer.
Well, also, it's a bum rap. She has run agencies, and if this is the worst they can say against her, it's a pretty feeble argument.
Thank you very much for the call. Christine in Madison. Hi, Christine. Oops, there
thanks
we go.
For doing this show.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of Elizabeth Warren, and I'm actually one of the disillusioned progressives. I was a heavy, strong supporter of Obama, and I've been really just over and over again disappointed about all the watering down that has gone on in terms of health care. I'm a cancer survivor now and feel disillusioned about that and this Consumer Protection Agency. To hear somebody like your previous guest talk about how the most important thing is being able to manage inside of Washington, that's precisely why we're all disappointed. A lot of my friends and I are disappointed about what's gone on. There's been too much kowtowing, too much watering down. There isn't enough strength in some of the regulations that are happening. And I think over and over again, Elizabeth Warren has proven that she is a champion who is not corruptible. And so that's one of the things that appeals the most to me about it.
Robert.
Well, here. I mean, I completely agree. And again, what is wonderful about Elizabeth is that she's not a creature of Washington, and yet she really knows how to do politics. And if you have a situation where the norm is that Treasury and the Fed look to the banks first and to the consumer second, and you want to change that, you have to be able to work well with Congress. You have to be able to make arguments inside. You have to go public when that's necessary. And she's one of those rare people who's good at all of those. She's also a person of unusual charm. She's likable. She's folksy. She's from Oklahoma. She's not what you think of as a Harvard law professor, but she's also smart as a whip.
What more can you ask for, right? I mean, she is in an area that you wouldn't think you'd get sort of this star from. She has emerged as a star, really, on this, hasn't she?
I think so. And it's awfully hard to think of unblemished stars in the political arena,
right?
Whether progressive or conservative.
Yes, right, right. You're absolutely right.
So, you know, I think if Obama doesn't appoint her, even though she's had the effrontery to make a run for the job, which you almost never do publicly. I think if he doesn't give her the job, he's making a big mistake, and it's another squandered opportunity. Mm.
And when is this decision to be made, Robert? Do you know?
Any minute, because the
really?
Longer it hangs fire, the worse they look. I mean, he's gotten a lot of criticism for dithering on the oil blowout and for, you know, taking forever to make up his mind on important decisions. This one, the longer it hangs fire, the more pressure mounts. You know, every day another conservative group ups the ante, or another progressive group says, you got to appoint Elizabeth, so get it over with.
Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you.
With us.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, enjoyed it. Robert Kuttner, co-founder and co-director of American Prospect, author of a number of books, including A Presidency in Peril. We hope to book him, to get that book, and then book him on that, because he was a lively guest, and Vincent, a good guest, too. Good hour. Thank you. Chrissy Pease and Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour. And thanks to Chrissy Pease for on-air production and for all of your phone calls. It's great to have all of you so engaged and know this subject so well. We have another hour coming up.